Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3.
time per.
Good morning, everyone. I encourage you, if you're able, at this time to please stand. We're going to take just a few seconds to meet and greet those nearest you. Give them a hearty welcome to West Irwin this morning. You have about 30 seconds, so you better hustle up. Well, I will tell you, that was beautiful music to my ears as I looked out and saw everyone shaking hands and giving hugs and smiling, and it's a beautiful day. We're going to begin our worship now by singing, "He Has Made Me Glad." I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this.
Good morning and welcome to our time of fellowship as we gather around the throne of God and share our worship and praise today. Welcome to everyone that is here. We have a good crowd here gathered in our auditorium. Welcome to all of you that are joining us in our worship today online. We appreciate your attendance and participation. Glad you are part of our West Irwin worshiping family today, either live right now this morning or sometime as you watch this video. We'd like to ask everyone to fill out a card. You'll see an attendance card on the back of the pew in front of you, one of those white cards. There's a place for members on one side, our guests on the other side. If you don't mind letting us know that you are here with us today, we appreciate that very much and ask you to do that. You can also do that on our app online. If you are one of our members, you can sign in on the app as well. This evening, we will have our reflections class that will meet at 5 p.m. in one of the big classrooms across the parking lot from where we are seated right now. I'll be leading a discussion, kind of reflecting, if you will, on this sermon series we've been taking on, looking at scripture summary statements. And so I'm going to hand out all of those and give you that, and we'll kind of let you comment on some of those and maybe share some of your own that you might have that I have left off. That's at 5 p.m. today. On Tuesday evening at 6:30 in our Family Life Center across West Irwin Street, we will have our Pi Devo. That will be at 6:30 Wednesday evening. Share Pi together and also a time of devotion to our God. Thursday is Thanksgiving, as you know, and so we will not have any classes or activities here in our facility on Wednesday evening. So I hope that you'll be able to be here on Tuesday evening if you're in town at 6:30 and share a piece of pie and a time of worship together. Some prayer updates. Our Callie Huff is back at Club Med, as they call it in Dallas. Clements Hospital. She has been in there for several days, and they have finally figured out what's going on, and it is a bacterial infection that is especially hits those who suffer with cystic fibrosis, like our wonderful angel Callie Huff. So be prayerful for them. We're glad that they know what's going on, and we're glad that they are beginning to treat it, and she is doing better as we speak. Hopefully we'll be home, she and Rachel, soon. Our Kenna Kempton will have surgery tomorrow and will be in the hospital for one night, so keep Kenna and Todd in your prayers. Also, Garrett Smith will have another visit to his doctor to see how his cancer is progressing, and hopefully not progressing, and that it's continuing to be clear and in his kidney, and that will be on the 9th. So Garrett and Jill ask for us to continue to remember them. One other prayer update, and it involves myself. Earlier this year, I went on my annual physical, which usually is a pretty easy thing. But unfortunately, one of the blood results that they give for men is a PSA test, which measures prostate and prostate cancer. And mine was very elevated, unusually. And so I did a prostate biopsy a couple of weeks or so ago, and I have prostate cancer. It is a very low level. Those of you that know something about prostate cancer know that it is very slow growing, that it doesn't develop very quickly, but it is in that the lower two areas of the way they measure that. And so all of that to say, Joyce and I are asking for your prayers and for your encouragement. The doctor said you can, several options as far as treatment. You don't have to do anything right now. That's the condition. And so we're considering that. We may do surgery to remove the prostate after the first of the year, but we have to wait a couple of months on that, which gives us time to think and pray and talk to folks and make the right decision. So we appreciate all of your care and concern for us that you show all the time. And so now we've got this extra prayer request as well. As we told our kids when we called them, the doctor walked in, and we had already seen the results on my chart, and told the doctor that. And he walks in and he says, "Well, you're going to live a long time." And I told Joyce, "I am really glad he led with that." So we have much to be thankful for and much to, of course, be aware of. And we appreciate all of your prayers and encouragement as well.
Wait.
Let us bow. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day that we are able to come and worship you in peace, be able to worship you in the way that you have instructed us to, without fear. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for all those on our prayer and care list that are recovering and those that are in rehab, and especially now with the news of Bill, pray, dear Heavenly Father, that the doctors will find the appropriate treatment for him and that he will live for many, many years. As we come upon this week in front of us of a week of Thanksgiving, dear God, we pray that we will always count our blessings instead of the things that we are feel that we need that we don't have, because we are truly the most blessed people that have ever lived on the earth in this country. And many times we get complacent with that, always wanting more, when we just need to stop and look and see that our cup's pretty full. Dear Heavenly Father, there are so many conflicts across the world, and we don't understand all of the reasons why. We don't understand why so many innocent people have lost their lives in all of these conflicts. But we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that somehow that the leaders of this country and of the world will look for peace. We have heard of a lot of discussions about all of these conflicts, wars, and violence, but we rarely hear the discussion of peace. And we have seen conflicts and fighting and bloodshed throughout all of our lives. And most of it, we have to wonder if there was really a purpose in the end. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that your hand will be upon these situations so that this world can live in peace moving forward. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, also for our youth minister search committee members and our pulpit preacher search committee members as well, that they will do their homework and that they will, that you will guide them in helping to select the proper candidates. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, for those men and those families that are somewhere out there that will soon be here. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you will send us the right people to fill these positions, that we may continue to move forward and grow this church into the future. We've assembled this morning, dear God, as your children to worship you and thank you for all the many gifts that you have given us, especially the ultimate gift of salvation and eternity with you by your sending your son to die on that cross for us, dear God, and help us to always be thankful for what you have done for us. And we often fail you, dear God, and we are truly sorry for that. We pray that you will forgive us when we do wrong and that we will acknowledge our sins and repent and turn from them and try to live better each day in accordance with your will, not ours. Pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we will have a good week going forward and that we will continue to look for opportunities to spread your word and to speak of you and your son Jesus to any and all in whom we come in contact with. We say all these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I encourage all of us at this time to remove the things of this world from our minds and reflect totally upon our suffering Savior on the cross who died for our sins. When I survey the wondrous cross,
weeks ago or in the last month, Todd was up here, and he mentioned the word remembrance, and he made his talk completely about that. And it got me to thinking, and I did a little research on it. That remember or remembrance is mentioned over 200 times in Scripture. I think it's very important that we remember certain things, and definitely the Lord always wanted his people to remember things. The opposite of remembering, I think, it would be forgetting. And many times the Lord told his people, forget not, do not forget certain things. And there were monuments built. Israelites were instructed to write upon their doorpost, above their doorway, and things that would remind them where they came from and what God had done for them. He told them to not remember what he did for them in delivering from Egypt. But many times they'd build a pillar beside a crossing or something, and that was to make their children ask, what does that mean? Why is that here? Why do we have that monument? And it would give the parents an opportunity to explain to their children what God had done for them. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he said, remember me. And it's such a good, easy thing to do, to partake the Lord's Supper each week. But we need to remember what it's all about, who we're remembering and what he did for us and the suffering he went through, the sacrifice that his Father made. So as we partake the Lord's Supper this morning, let's be sure that we take it in a worthy manner. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful to you that you allowed your Son to die for us, that we could deal with you in a covenant relationship, and because of his great sacrifice and the blood that he shed. Father, we know that Jesus came from you, and he was part of the Godhead from the very beginning, but he came and dwelt among men, and he went through the suffering and the trials that we all go through, and then many more with his crucifixion. Father, we know that he came from you, and he's full of grace and full of truth. Father, we're so thankful that we can partake of this bread as a memorial of his body, that we can have his body living in us, that we can display the life and the love and the feelings that Jesus had for all mankind. Father, we ask your blessings upon this loaf as we partake of it, and pray that we will examine ourselves as we do so. Through Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my Lord. All the vain things that shall be lost, I sacrifice them to His love.
Let's pray. Father, we give you the thanks for this cup that we're about to partake of, and we ask for your blessings upon it. Father, we realize the blood in our bodies carries life-giving oxygen to our bodies, and that it circulates through and rids our body of impurities and diseases and sicknesses. But Father, the spiritual blood that we share from Jesus is so much more powerful. It has the ability to cause us to live in a relationship with you that gives us hope of eternity with you. Father, we realize the power to remove sin is far greater than the power to remove physical impurities or illnesses. Father, we're so thankful for the blood that Jesus shed, and we ask your forgiveness for having to have done that on our behalf, but Father, we're thankful that he did. It's through his name we pray. Amen.
See from his head.
Oh,
election is over with. But during that time, many of us, or some of us, may have given money to a candidate that we wanted to see win, or a special group that we wanted to see perpetuated. And a lot of times those candidates or those groups didn't really need what few dollars we sent to them. They got by without it. They could have got by without it. And it's the same way with the Lord. He can get by without the money that we give. But we're told to give because it puts priorities on things. It lets us say that this is important that we do this, and that we don't hoard back or hold back money and or give it grudgingly. We're supposed to give it in the right spirit, with a happy mind, and look forward to the good that will come from it. But actually, the Lord doesn't need what we can give him. But it's for our own benefit that we give each week, and we're thankful for that. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you at this time, we pray that we have examined what we will give to you, and that we are happy to do it, and that we will try to always place you first and put you above the things that are around us, the things that we would desire to have that money could buy. Father, we realize that spreading the word is so important, that we reach out to those that are lost and take the word to them. Father, this allows that to happen. We pray that much good will come from the fruits that we give today. Father, we ask these things through Jesus. Amen.
If you're a part of the BLAST program, you're dismissed at this time. If everyone else would please stand, turn your attendance cards into the aisle nearest you, and they'll be picked up at this time by one of our young men. And before Bill speaks to us this morning, we'll sing "To God Be the Glory."
To God be the glory, great things He hath done, and great glory He hath given us His Son. Glory.
Thanksgiving is a season of gratitude. Aren't you glad that all of those years of graduate level education have finally paid off for me, right? That I learned that. Thanksgiving is a season of gratitude. Gratitude is so significant. I have come to believe that gratitude is one of those things that really is at a foundational level. That if we can have gratitude, if we can be thankful, as we have shared today in our song service, our shepherd's prayer time around the table together, we realize that we have much, much to be thankful for. And I'm grateful to live in a nation and in a community that values that, that celebrates Thanksgiving, that reminds us, we should think about it every day, but we don't. And so having an annual reminder, this is a special time to be thankful. And for those of us who are people of faith, who trust in God and in God's Word and in our Savior Jesus Christ, we know exactly where to address that gratitude and that thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a season of gratitude. I want us to share today about four different scripture passages. If you're looking at your outline, you see it there. If you're looking online, then you see that there. And I'm not going to tell you what they are until I read them. And so, Bible quiz time today, you get to hear those passages read, or you can see them on your outline, and then you can fill in what you think the reference is. And I'm not going to tell you what it is until after we read it, unless, of course, I forget and do it anyway. I have learned as I have gone on in life that, you know, we like to memorize the BCV, right? Which means what? Book, chapter, and verse. So we like to know book, chapter, and verse. For example, Matthew 16, 18, which, by the way, is none of the ones on your outline today. But Jesus saying, upon this rock I will build what? My church. That's a great verse to remember, Matthew 16, verse 18. What I have found is if I can remember the book and the chapter, I've got it narrowed down enough to where with just a minute or so, I can find the verse. Now, that has nothing to do with the fact that I find it harder to remember all three these days. Absolutely nothing. That doesn't weigh in on it at all. Oh, maybe a little. But if you can remember the book and the chapter, you can find that verse. And so all of that to say, if all you do is write down the book and the chapter in that blank for these four scriptures, I'm going to go ahead and give you full credit. Okay, so there you go. There you go. Can you identify these four scripture passages that summarize the grateful life? All four of these are pretty familiar, some of them more than others. Can you identify what they are? And here's the first one. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You probably have a pretty good idea of that one, maybe. Maybe not. If you said 1 Thessalonians 5, you're good to go. I love this passage in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. Because as a preacher, I love anything that's got 3 points. If only there was a poem and an invitation attached to it, it'd be perfect. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, a couple of things, since this is the first one, all four of these are pretty similar, really. As we read through them, you're going to say, well, that's saying something very much like what that other one said. And that's exactly right. That's exactly right. The church at Thessalonica that received this letter, and 2 Thessalonians as well, was in modern-day Greece, in the northern part of modern-day Greece, and they had been suffering a great deal of trouble and persecution because of their faith. First and Second Thessalonians, two of the earliest books written of our New Testament, possibly the earliest ones. Galatians might be the exception to that. But this is what Paul writes to this church that's suffering so much. And he addresses persecution all the way through the letter. But then as he's beginning to wrap up, he says this. These three things in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. So a few things about this. Rejoice always. We began this morning singing, He has what? Made me glad. And when Paul says rejoice always, he's talking to people who are suffering. He's talking to people who are going through some difficult times. And so the message is not rejoice when things are going well. The message is rejoice when? Always. Always. And only people of faith can do that. Only people of faith can rejoice always. Because we realize that whatever we're going through at this very moment, at this very time, is not permanent. Even if it's permanent for the rest of our lives, it's not permanent. It's not eternal. And so we can rejoice always. We can sing, He has made me glad. Rejoice always. Pray continually. That's probably something that he didn't really have to remind them of. Pray all the time. The traditional translation, pray without ceasing. And I don't think that means that you walk around all day with a prayer on your lips. But I think that means that you walk around all day with a prayerful heart. With a heart that at any second could go to God in word of prayer. Because of whatever it is. Now, that prayer may take on a lot of different kinds of things. As things hit your mind. But he says, rejoice always, pray continually, pray without ceasing. And then verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. And that's the difference, again, with Christians, with people of faith versus everyone else. Everyone else give thanks when things are going great. Christians can give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. And so we sing, thank you, Lord. As we did earlier, we celebrate Thanksgiving in a special way. As Jay reminded us around the table, we remember. As Wade reminded us, we remember that all of those incredible blessings that we have, that we sometimes are not very conscious of. And so we can give thanks in all circumstances because there are some things in this life that the difficult circumstances of this world cannot take away. And so when the circumstances are bad, we can still give thanks. Not because we're masochistic and we like to suffer. That's not it at all. Not it at all. Not even close. These passages themselves acknowledge that there are difficult times. And that's why we pray continually. But we can still give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I tell people this is the perfect passage if you have a little short devotional to give sometime. Here it is. It's perfectly laid out. It's a wonderful one to remember. Scripture number two, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. For some, their favorite chapter is Romans chapter 12, and this is one of the verses in it. Romans 12, verse 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. People will ask, how can you give thanks in all circumstances? How can you have this optimistic spirit about you? How can you live your life with such joy? And this is the reason. Be joyful in what? Hope. You see, as long as you have hope, you can have joy. And as long as you are looking to Jesus Christ and that blood that was shed and that tomb that is now empty, you have hope. And because of that, you have joy. You can be joyful in hope, even in the most difficult of circumstances. And again, Scripture never denies the difficulty that Christians face from time to time. And this passage also affirms that. Be joyful in hope, but also be patient in what? Affliction, trouble. Jesus never promised that we wouldn't have it. In fact, he assured us that we likely would. And sometimes it would be because of our faith. That's the way of this world. And so it calls for patience. It calls for patience. It calls for that praying continually, right? Without ceasing. And sometimes that prayer is a real honest look, such as we read so many of the Psalms. God, where are you? How come you keep answering my prayer no? How come you're not delivering me? How come the bad guys continue to win? Those are okay prayers to ask, to give to God. Believe me, he knows that you're thinking them anyway. Scripture never says that we won't be afflicted at times, but it says be patient in affliction. Hang in there. Don't give up. Trust God. That's that whole faith thing, right? Oh, faith and trust are easy when there's no affliction, when there's no suffering. We're all about it. But the depth of our faith, the depth of our trust in God is measured in the worst of times. Be patient in affliction and, of course, faithful in prayer. Much like 1 Thessalonians 5 says, pray without ceasing, pray continually. Paul tells the Christians in the capital city of the empire, be faithful in prayer. Don't stop praying. Jesus told a couple of parables about that. Remember, like the lady with the had a case that she should be able to win easily, but there was an unjust judge who heard it and never ruled for her because she had no power. She had nothing to give him. In his political progress, she offered nothing, and so he didn't care. But she kept on, and she kept on, and she kept on. And finally, he heard her message and he granted her request. Scripture says, be faithful in prayer. Don't stop praying. Continue to pray. Pray without ceasing. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. I have good news and bad news. We only have two scriptures left. That's the good news. The bad news is they're a lot longer than these first two. Sorry. This is number three. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Book in the chapter is what? Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord when things are going well. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. It's not even rejoice in the Lord most of the time. It's rejoice in the Lord what? Always. I will say it again, rejoice. And one of the interesting things about the book of Philippians is, along with a few others, Paul is writing it while he is basically in jail, at least under house arrest, waiting to be for his case to be heard by the Roman Emperor Nero to see if he lives or dies. And he doesn't know how it's going to go. That's what he was going through as he writes these words. So don't hear these words and think, oh yeah, sure, that was easy for Paul. No, not at all. And yet he said, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Why can you rejoice always? Because you are in the Lord. Are you in the Lord today? If you're not a Christian, if you're not a child of God, if your sins haven't been washed away by the blood of Jesus, you can only rejoice when things are going well. But if you are in the Lord, you can rejoice always. Because whatever the external circumstance that you're going through is, it doesn't take away your joy. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And so here we go. Don't be anxious. Instead, what? Pray. And pray with faith and pray with thanksgiving. Now, this may not be a very good interpretation and application and understanding of this passage, but I want to tell you that as a parent and a grandparent now, that whole idea of never being anxious is pretty unrealistic when you're thinking about your kids and your loved ones. And sometimes your health. You see, it doesn't say rejoice when the doctor says, good news, it's not cancer. It says rejoice in the Lord always. And it says, take that anxiety that you feel and direct it to God. Take that anxious spirit and with thanksgiving in your heart, counting your blessings, remembering those things. Tell it to God. Be honest. Let your requests be made known to God. Don't just dwell on that anxiety, as real as it is, and it's real. But take it in sincere and genuine prayer to the Father who loves you and cares about you and sent his Son to die for you. And what's the result? Verse 7. And the peace of God, which what? The kids sing it. I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Why does he say that? Because the peace that we feel in the midst of our anxiety, the world cannot understand. It makes no sense. How can you rejoice in the Lord always? How can you rejoice always? How can you be thankful in all circumstances? Christian, I don't get it. And they don't get it. It's the peace that passes all understanding. It's the peace that is beyond all worldly comprehension. Because it's a peace that we have no matter what's going on in our world at the time. We can be at peace. It doesn't mean there's no storms or threats. I think, personally, it doesn't even mean that there's no anxiety. It just means that it is overcome by peace that comes not from us, not from our circumstances, but from our great God, that the circumstances cannot take away. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Number 4. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Well, if you turned in your Bible to Philippians 4 or clicked on it and you had the whole chapter, you've already got the answer, don't you? Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. And I got to admit, I don't remember all of those things. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is faithful, whatever is all those other things that Paul says in that verse. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, do what? Think about those things. Think about those good things. Satan tries to throw everything in our brains other than these things. The fear, the difficulty, the hurt, the betrayals. He wants us to think about all of those things, and I can tell you that he's pretty good at what he does, which means that sometimes we're going to. But think of it like you do your laptop or your smartphone or your computer or tablet or whatever it is everybody's writing on these days. Every once in a while, you'll have something pop up. In fact, they got real creative about what they call those. They call them pop-ups. And maybe you don't have much control over what pops up, but you do have control over what you click. And so your decision to not click on that pop-up and to click on something that is more like what we just read, that's on you. Think about those things. Not the things that Satan pops up in our head to try to take us away from these good things, honorable things, true things, noble things, lovely things. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. And then verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Find those people that are good examples, good models, people who are not doing it perfectly but who are doing it well. And take a look at their lives and follow their example. See how they live their lives, and you put those things into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Once again, what do we end up with? Peace. Peace that doesn't depend on the circumstances, doesn't depend on the world. The peace that God and God only can give. The God of peace will be with you. When we close today, we're going to sing this great song of faith. This is my Father's world. And it is. And it is. And so four things. Let's keep the four thing going. Four things as we close today. The grateful life is a life of, first of all, joy. Rejoice always. Have that hope that is built on Jesus rather than the circumstances. Sometimes they're going to go our way, sometimes not, but Jesus will always be there. He will always be with you. And that's why you can always have joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Joy. The grateful life is a life of joy. Secondly, the grateful life is a life of prayer. Pray continually. Pray without ceasing. When those things that cause you an anxious spirit are overwhelming, pray. Let your requests be made known to God. When we pray, it is an active demonstration and confession of our faith. We believe that there's a God who is greater than I am, who is greater than my circumstances, who will handle this. And so I take it to him. The grateful life is a life of gratitude. Again, give thanks in what? Everything. At every turn, at every moment, we can find those things to be thankful for, even if all we can be thankful for is the fact that God is with us in the midst of the storm. The grateful life is a life of joy, of prayer, of gratitude, and of peace. Paul said it best in Philippians 4, verse 9, and the God of peace will be with you. I promise you, my friend, that that is true. And if you can't rejoice in the Lord always because you're not in the Lord, we want to talk to you about that. We want to help you with that. We would love to help make that happen. Because this is my Father's world, and He will be with you every day, every moment, every breath. And if you will turn it over to Him, the God of peace, will be with you. If you need to come, come as we stand, sing our song together.
Oh, I keep Jesus waiting, waiting in the cold. He will bury gently, gently to hold. See him slowly over, oh, I keep Jesus waiting.
Service this morning by singing the song Bill mentioned, This Is My Father's World. And as he said, it certainly is. But remember this Thanksgiving season that is for us. It's his world, he owns it. But he gave it to us to enjoy. And this is my father's world.
Me, please. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for giving us this time that you set aside for us to come together to worship you and be together with others who have like mind, to encourage one another, to lift each other up, and to spur each other on to good works. Father, we're living in a nation right now that's going through a lot of changes in government and changes in policies. We'd like to ask this morning that as leaders of this country change and go about making new policies for our country, that you allow the gospel to be free to be preached, and that you allow us to keep our liberties to still meet together, and that the decisions that they make will allow for our country to once again be a country that is proud to serve you and to wear your name. Lord, as we go out this week from this service and we go into the world, as we go into work and meet with our kids and everybody, friends, that we ask that you give us opportunities to spread your gospel further, to talk to other people. We ask that you help us to have the courage to get past some of our comfort zones, to be able to spread that word and stand where we need to stand and be gentle where we need to be gentle. And we ask that you give us these opportunities through this week. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.